You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 50. So, quite a bit to get through for this week. A few items of note from WWDC. I'm not going to go through every particular item of note, but just the things that were relevant and of interest to me, so there's that. There's a couple of, or at least one device announcement, and then I'll jump into this week's app review. So to start it off with this week's theme, the theme is the mission statement. So this is something that any business comes up with. It's basically a short sentence or paragraph that describes the company's reason for being. So essentially, it's why is that company in business? What's their goal? What's the purpose of whatever goods or products or goods and services or either one that they're selling? This helps not only to keep employees focused on the business and work on projects to help achieve the company's goals, but it also gives customers a way to understand what kind of business that the company is in, because you want to be able to differentiate it between, let's say you don't know what kind of business Apple Inc. is in, so you might go to apple.com thinking it's for Apple's fruit versus Apple, the computer company. So when you go to their website, you can see what their product listing is, and then go down and learn more about what they do and all of that. And same thing with any other company, whether it's technology or in the food industry or services or anything like that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Apple announced this week that OS X they're changing the name of their operating system from OS X to Mac OS. The first version in the Mac OS line now is going to be called Sierra, which adds a few of things like the ability to unlock the computer when your Apple Watch is nearby, universal clipboard sharing between Mac OS and iOS, Siri for Mac OS, picture-in-picture support in Safari, and Apple Pay for the mobile web. In Microsoft news, the Xbox One S was announced this week. It's 40% smaller than the Xbox One, comes with a 2TB hard drive, outputs video at up to 4K, has HDR gaming, and a new Bluetooth controller. As far as streamlining the device itself, it has an updated disk drive to be able to stand better vertically, and an integrated power supply. For those of you who use Apple News, it got an update this week to now allow adding your own subscriptions, reading certain news straight from within the app and not having to go anywhere else. The For You section is now broken into smaller sections for more granularity as far as categories, and getting breaking news on your lock screen. This week, Facebook added a few new features to Messenger, including adding SMS to the mobile app, as well as quick access to online status for your friends and upcoming birthdays, which I think is on the website rather than the app, but I'm not 100% sure. In other news, though, Google announced that they'll possibly be bringing Google Fiber to Dallas, Texas. So if you live in the Dallas area, then this may happen once all the deals start working out. iOS 10 got an update, or is getting the ability to live stream games via a service called Replay Kit Live. So similar to the Android side of things, if you're on Android 5 or higher, that you can live stream games via YouTube or various other apps that integrate that feature. This week, OnePlus announced the OnePlus 3 device. It's a 5.5-inch device with a 1080p AMOLED screen, fingerprint sensor, Snapdragon 820 processor, 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, 16-megapixel rear camera, and 8-megapixel front camera, USB-C with quick charging, a 3,000 milliamp hour battery, and Android 6.0.1 with Oxygen OS. So definitely a high-end device, and definitely one worth checking out. I think that device runs at around $399 unlocked, but be sure to check that out just to do a search for OnePlus 3 and look into it, but it's definitely a device worth getting. I think I'm pretty sure on the unlock status, so if it's available for or it supports the carrier that you're on, then it may be worth getting it, and especially since you don't have to be tied to a carrier and it's already unlocked, so you can switch between compatible carriers as you wish. This week, Microsoft announced that they'll be buying LinkedIn for $26.2 billion. So both companies said it's a good strategic investment for both companies, so they're going through with the deal. Google released a Springboard as a new way for Google Apps users to search through the contents of their Google Drive using Google's AI. So if you're using Google Apps, then this will help with better finding what you're looking for. Google also announced that they'll be adding portable Wi-Fi hotspots to public libraries in Toronto. So if you're in the area and you need Wi-Fi access, then you can soon you'll be able to visit any Toronto public library. And finally, the Chrome Dev Channel is getting updated to version 53. This is notable because it will be adding the Google Play Store to the Asus Chromebook Flip and possibly the Chromebook Pixel, but I'm not sure. I've heard select stories of this rollout starting to happen, so if you're on the Chrome Dev Channel and you have a Asus Chromebook Flip, then definitely check it out. So I'm probably going to guess that's not too far off where other, at least touchscreen or other compatible touchscreen Chromebooks will be getting the Google Play Store, and hopefully sooner after that, other compatible Chromebooks. So that is all for that. So I will jump into this week's app review, and that is the news aggregator Feedly. So I was kind of inspired by the Apple announcement about the updates to news, and I thought about a third-party app that lets you that works on multiple or that's cross-platform compatible that allows you to do the same thing or better. And that app is Feedly. It's an app that I've been using since Google Reader was shut down. So the benefit of it is that it works for notably Android and iOS as well as Windows Phone, I think at least version 8, and then other, I think Nokia, BlackBerry, a couple of other different platforms as well. It helps you find and read news from sources across the web. So rather than generic categories, you can search for topics and find sites that talk about it. If you like the articles that the site provides, then you can easily subscribe to it. You can sign in using Google, Facebook, or email. I'm signed in using Google, and it works nicely because if you do use Gmail or Google for your email, then you're already signed in. Then you can just go to Feedly and log in with Google right that or that way as well. You can use Facebook and email if you want other options as well. So let's say you're starting off fresh. What you'll do, and so to add articles, what you'll do is search by hashtag or keyword to find topics that you want to talk about or read about. So whether it's breaking news or just random tech stories or movies or things like that, you can do a search and see sites that are talking about it. And once you find something you're looking or a site that you want to subscribe to, all you'll do is hit the plus button. You'll get a confirmation that it's been added and you're all set. Now from here, let's say you keep going, you keep adding stuff. You now have lots of different sources, but you want to categorize them. What I recommend doing right off the bat, even if you may not use them, is to go to the Feedly website, go to feedly.com, and create various categories based on your own interests. So for me, I just have generic categories. So I kept Listen subscriptions back when I was using Google Listen back in the day. Anytime I subscribe to a podcast, I'll stick it in that folder. Anytime there's a news site that I subscribe to, I stick it in news. Same thing for Star Wars entertainment and tech news. And then if for things like comics and friends' blogs and things like that, I just have another folder for my username. And I stick it in there just to keep it separate. And that's my filter. And then if you need more, you can do that. Or if you want to consolidate in other ways, then you can do that as well. Or if you have subscriptions based on certain, let's say, people or topics, then you can create folders for that as well. Once you do that, and then at the time of subscribing, you can add it to your folder, move them around, just go to the Feedly website, and you can move things around as you need. The app, though, has multiple viewing layouts like List and Magazine, so depending on the size of your device, each one provides a certain benefit. So on your smartphone, may List or I think whatever the condensed one or title only and List works good for smartphones. Card and magazine layouts work better for tablets, so you get a more visual experience if the articles you're reading have images. On the back end, you have a couple of good features as well. So the first is things like automatically saving articles. So let's say you want to save an article for offline reading, you can save your Instapaper or Pocket credentials to Feedly. So when you hit have it saved to Instapaper, anytime you push the save button, it'll automatically save and download there. That way your articles will show up there if possible. If you want to automatically save to Feedly for reading later, you can do that as well. You have default saving or sharing options as well. Sorry. So what you can do here, let's say you're always sharing to Facebook or always saving to Twitter, you can have that set as a default. So when you hit the share button, it'll automatically go there. Or you can just use a default Android menu depending on, let's say you have different sharing options all the time, then, or there's no consistent single place where you share, you can do that so you can share wherever you need to. And then there's also the overflow menu. So when you're in an article, if you need to open it in a browser or if you want different other options to share to than your usual, you can use those as well. And then it also has dark and light themes depending on your reading preference. I just have it set to dark, but the light theme works nicely as well. So whichever one works better for you. So the service is free. You can check it out on the website at feedly.com. Or check it out in the Android or iOS app stores. Just do a search for Feedly. That's F-E-E-D-L-Y. It's a green rotated square icon with lines in it for the RSS part, I guess. But it's available for free to check out. So start using it. It's very full-featured. And it works with services like If This Then That. So if you want to, let's say you share an article that you're reading, but you also want to save it to Facebook or Twitter, just by pushing the share button, you can create a recipe for that. Or if you want to send it by email or whatever you can think of in If This and That to use with Feedly, you can. It has a lot of options to share with. So in the show notes, you'll have a link for the YouTube review that I did, so you can take a look at it, play around, see how I played around with it a little bit more. And if you have questions, you can always get in touch with me. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you in a couple of great and exciting ways. So if you want to help expand the show and the network, we do have a couple of Patreons set up to help you support the show and the network in whatever way you can. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to see more posts on the feed, you want to have an Android app to quickly and easily get to the post and via different categories and things like that. Let's say you want to have a Q&A segment, then be sure to visit patreon.com/patelin01 to check out the various patron levels and what kind of things you can unlock by helping to support the show. You can also help support the network by visiting patreon.com/geekio. This helps our flagship show go ad-free. So let's say you just want to blaze through the show, listen to all of it uninterrupted. You can do things like that. Let's say you wanted a weekly D&D episode. Helping to contribute to the Geek.io Patreon can help do that as well as adding special patron content, adding a new show, getting more con coverage, all of the great geeky, nerdy stuff that we all love. So that's patreon.com/geekio for all of that good stuff, as well as patreon.com/patelin01 to help the show expand as well. But that is all for that, so back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. Not too much going on as far as the entertainment segment for this week. Just one news item, a couple of things of what I watched, and then I'll have a TV show review, and that'll be that. So to start it off with the news, a teaser trailer was released for the biopic movie about Tupac Shakur and his life. So the movie at the moment is going to be called All Eyes on Me. So definitely worth checking out. The trailer is available on YouTube, so you can give it a watch. So you get a little bit more information. And the good news they hear is that the guy who played Notorious B.I.G. in his biopic film will be playing the same, or will be playing Notorious B.I.G. in this movie as well. So pretty good, or I'm glad they're continuing with that choice. I liked his portrayal in that movie as well. As far as what I watched this week, I had a chance to watch Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 8, No One. So, overall, a pretty good episode. It was rather slow compared to most episodes. I know a lot of people were complaining about that, but I know it's also a bit of episode building. A lot going on as far as the Arya character. I like the resolution to that and the solution there. So, I kind of actually wanted to know a little bit more about the Wave character. And was the Wave actually just a manifestation of Arya? Was it Jakan, whatever, that the faceless guy dude playing that character? Because although we have seen them in the same room at the same time, I'm getting to wonder if maybe there was something going on there, just a random girl that he found who wanted to help him train Arya with. I also had a chance to watch Preacher Season 1, Episode 3, The Possibility. So here we have Preacher telling the vampire guy about his powers, and those two mysterious guys posing as the FBI agents making progress and trying to get closer to recovering the thing that is in the Preacher right now. And finally, I had a chance to rewatch The Martian. I wanted to watch it with a fresh pair of eyes, and I did enjoy it as much as I did the first time as well. So, still the loneliness and his progress that he made on Mars when he was lonely, the troubles when at NASA back on Earth and all of that, as far as getting him supplies and food, and the difficulties they faced when they found out that he's still alive. So I did enjoy the rewatch, and then I found out after I rewatched it that there's that the extended cut was released with something like 10 or 11 additional minutes. So I might give it a watch if it becomes available on HBO or Amazon Prime or anything like that. But overall, I did enjoy the rewatch, and I did enjoy it as much as the first time. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's TV show review. And for this week, it is Mr. Robot Season 1, Episode 1, Episode 1.0, HelloFriend.mov. So, I didn't get a chance to watch it when it first aired on USA. I heard a lot of good things about it, but I think it was nearing the end of the season, and I didn't really spend the time to figure out where I could watch it at the time, if it was available on USA or not. But it was actually recently released to Amazon Prime for a Prime subscriber, so if you have that subscription, then you can watch all, I think, 9 or 10 episodes. So I gave it a watch and I quite enjoyed it, so I'll jump into the review. So it originally released in the United States on June 24th, 2015. It has a runtime of 64 minutes. A summary of the episode is a cybersecurity tech meets the leader of a hacker group called F Society. His name is Mr. Robot, and the robot may be behind the biggest company in the world getting hacked. So overall, that's a pretty good start to the season. We learned that there's this techie for a cybersecurity company who has his own personal problems, anger management issues. I don't know about borderline drug issues, but they do resolve it where he resolves it with himself to not get addicted by controlling how much he keeps on hand and how much he takes at a time, so he always continues to get that high. And how he falls into this world of joining the hacker group because he's a lot more skilled than most other people. So with that, I'll jump into the my not really issues, but the points of note with the episode. So start it off, what is Angela's role at the company when only the engineer and supervisor are needed to take control of the situation? So the biggest company in the world, E-Corp, or as the techie guy likes to say, Evil Corp, gets hacked. The techie actually figures out the cause of the hack and is able to stop it, but I don't think it was something that was meant for him to really be stopped. The hacker group was actually trying to recruit him and tried to see if he was actually as good as they think he is. So there was more of a test than an actual hack. So he actually passes that, and he doesn't turn over the information because he's actually curious about what this company is planning on doing. But back to my original point, though. Throughout the episode, we learn that Angela is, I want to say, maybe a maybe a business analyst or a group leader or team leader or something like that, where she's supposed to report to the companies, be that customer service intermediary type of person. But it doesn't seem like she's very good at the job. When they're in the meeting after it happens and giving the summary, and she's off by the day. My whole thing is that if you're going to be the person to provide the summary, you should be on point to show that that you have the situation under control. If the tech can provide a more concise answer on the spot and blurt out a really good answer, then what kind of job is she doing? And they actually kind of also do talk about it a little bit, where because she's childhood friends with that same techie, that she's probably riding on him propping her up and giving her the information she needs. Next up, though, how do they handle eavesdropping via over-the-air listening equipment? So basically, when Mr. Robot is trying to recruit the tech from the cybersecurity company, they're talking outside, they go on the Ferris wheel. And my whole thing is, if they go all out on the security thing by only talking in person within that container or that freight container and all of that, aren't they worried when they're out in the open that if they're talking, if they randomly turn on a Ferris wheel at a park that's supposed to be dead, won't people notice? Won't anyone get suspicious and start poking around or anything like that? So I began to wonder if maybe they have other eavesdropping blocking technology in place, or are they really just not that concerned? So maybe it's something that gets resolved later, but this kind of bugged me when it happened that shouldn't there be more security than that? So on that note, that leads into my final thing, that when they turn on the Ferris wheel, wouldn't that power surge cause any questions, and wouldn't that be a security violation to anybody? Because it's this really big Ferris wheel, people can see it moving, people can see it rotating, or do they do it often enough and randomly enough where nobody would notice? So that's really all there is for that. So overall, I did enjoy the episode. It is worth watching. I kind of like that the hacker or the tech from the security firm, we're kind of getting that breaking the fourth wall, kind of like how we see in House of Cards, where he's kind of giving his thoughts, his opinions, additional information. So I actually can't wait for the rest of the season. I'm kind of seeing in this, even in this first episode, what people are talking about. So I think the second season starts up next month in July or something like that. So hopefully I get the 10 episodes done so I can try and watch the next season live. But overall, it is worth watching. It's a good mix of tech or tech company and the business world, I'm kind of hoping to see. So, or the tech business tech world and that merging of things there. So overall, I do it is worth watching. I do recommend watching it. If you have Amazon Prime, you can now watch all the entire season on Amazon Prime. And so that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's Star Wars profile. And for this profile, kind of on the helm of watching Mr. Robot and that gray area between good and bad, and that whole text notion of whether he should give the client the correct information or not, whether he should go with the hackers or not, I got to thinking that in the Star Wars universe, we have gray Jedi that face a similar situation where they are individuals who are not corrupted by the dark side of the Force, but do not follow the codes of the light side. So basically what they do is that they've gone through the Jedi program and they realize that they're unable to follow the Jedi rules. And then they're also not necessarily seduced, but they like the ideas and principles of the dark Jedi, or the Sith, where they follow their passions, they break chains, they use aggression, but they're not seduced, so they're able to control themselves, they're able to take advantage of the situation, but also pull them back from the rush of that situation. The benefit of being a gray Jedi is not entirely different from being a Jedi or a Sith, so basically they can still build, or they still have the ability to build their own lightsabers and manifest various powers of the Force, so they can have the various abilities and traits and things that may work to their favor. So if they're able to still use Force lightning effectively, or telekinesis or force push or anything like that, they're still able to do all of that stuff based on their abilities and talents and where their abilities lie in the force. So a bit of background, the Great Jedi are Jedi and Sith, or there is a term used by the Jedi and Sith to describe force users who walk the line between light, between the light side and dark side of the force. They can be Jedi who distance themselves from the Jedi Council and operate outside the scriptures of the Jedi Code, or Sith who find that being a Sith is not the ultimate answer to being a Force user. They came into existence after the Great Sith War for those Jedi who did not agree with centralizing Jedi power or centralizing the Jedi power structure and teaching. So they believed that they should not have that code and they should be able to pursue the Force however they saw fit, because there's no one way to use the Force. So their general teaching, much like we have the Sith code, there's also the Gray Jedi code, which goes something like, there is no light without the dark. Through passion, I gain focus. Through knowledge, I gain power. Through serenity, I gain strength. Through victory, I gain harmony. There is only the Force. So basically, they look at the Jedi and Sith trainings, and they basically apply both to the situation, see which one works best. So if they need aggression, they'll use aggression. If they need peace or serenity, they'll use peace or serenity. So it all depends on what they need, and they still want to pursue attaining knowledge and power and respect and knowledge of the Force and combat and all of that stuff, but in equal mix. So in the Star Wars universe, the best example that we see on screen is Qui-Gon Jinn. He was described as a Gray Jedi. We know that Obi-Wan told him that if he only followed the Jedi teachings, he'd be on the Jedi Council, but it's something that he couldn't do, and we knew that he was in tune with the Force, and he used aggression when he needed to, and he didn't believe that the Jedi way was the only way to apply the Force. And then that's kind of where we see Anakin going, where he originally started on the light side. He did use aggression when he needed to, so towards the end of his reign before he became a Sith Lord. I kind of want to say that even Anakin Skywalker may have been a Gray Jedi, because he used aggression, he used peace, or he used Jedi and Sith abilities, not necessarily together, and not even willingly. So he is unofficially a Gray Jedi because he used all the different powers. And he was seduced by the dark side of the Force, so he went all the way over rather than stopping at the Gray Jedi. And we kind of also see this in the Star Wars, the Clone Wars series, where he can control the brother and the sister equally. So that's actually all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's You Can Relax segment. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to help support the show, but you're not up for a recurring payment, or maybe it's not in your budget for the month for recurring payment, you can still help the show and the network grow and help contribute to the shows that you love to hear and all of that good stuff. First off, you can visit or check out some of the great deals we have going on by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can check out some of our sponsors like T-Fury, Tweaked Audio, ProXPN. If you shop on Amazon, we have an affiliates link, so definitely check those all out. What if you see something you like and you want to help us out, you can click on those links and you'll get some very great deals and promotions and help us out at the same time. Let's say you want to contribute to the Life of an Accounting Droid directly, but you don't really feel up for signing up for Patreon, or as I mentioned, you can't really do a recurring payment. You can also contribute via PayPal by visiting paypal.me/patelN01. When you make the contribution, let's say you wanted to go to a particular segment, like you want me to review a specific app or watch a particular TV episode or movie or anything like that, by contributing this way, your money can go straight to that particular feature, that particular part of the show. Or if you just love the show or the episode, then you can help contribute that way as well with whatever you feel comfortable with giving. Let's say you also prefer to read, or you know someone who would enjoy the content of the show but prefers to read instead, or they're always on the go and want to have that same thing on their Kindle, for example, or wherever you get the Kindle app, be sure to check out Journal of an Accounting Droid, which is basically all the same content you get on the show, but in the Kindle bookstore via an ebook format. You can check out all the latest releases by visiting author.patelN01.com. There's also a link to my Amazon author profile, so if you want to get notified as soon as a new journal is published, then there's also an email subscription link available, so you can easily get buy it yourself or share it with anyone you might think is interested or anything like that. So be sure to check out all the great links at geek-io.net/support for all of our great sponsors, paypal.me/patelN01 for one-time contributions, and author.patelN01 for the Journal of an Accounting Droid ebooks. But that is all for that, so back to the show. So for this week's You Can Relax segment, I wanted to talk about why going for a walk is relaxing. So for me, I like to go either right at sunrise or right at sunset. Ideally, I want to go at sunrise or sunset. But usually, as time permits, I usually only go at sunset. Sometimes after work. Sometimes on the weekend, like Sunday night before watching Game of Thrones, I'll go for a walk and then grab some dinner and watch Game of Thrones. So basically, it's just relaxing. I like the evening and morning air. There's this not necessarily morning is probably the cleanest air, but in the evening air, just after a day, it's just getting out of the office, taking a walk, checking out the sunrise or sunset. I do like taking pictures of the sunsets because I can play around and learn how to use Snapseed a little bit more. It's part of the reason I was able to get through applying selective filters in Snapseed. So it's kind of a twofold process. So I get to go for a walk. It's a little bit of fitness because I'll try and go to the gym in the morning as well. But it's actually good stress relief just because I'm taking a walk. I'm walking off the stress of the day. And as an accountant, I actually also sit for most of the day. So it allows me to stretch my legs a little bit rather than going home and just sitting for the evening and watching TV or using the computer. I can stretch my legs a little bit. So there are a couple of trails are on the way home from work, so I'll take a quick trail. It's probably about 15 minutes or round trip or so, 15 to 20 minutes. So take that hiking trail, go up, see the views around the city, take a picture if it's a little bit different than usual, and then walk back to my car and go home. So it also helps, or the other benefit is that it also helps work up an appetite. So I don't feel as bad about eating dinner or having a light dinner and having a relaxing evening. So that's all there is for that. Just how I see taking a walk. For me, it's just since I sit all day, I want to get out to go for a walk. Sunset's usually not until about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, so I still get some sun. I get the evening air. It's not too hot. It's not too cold, and it helps for stress relief. So hopefully, it helps you and gives you ideas to find a trail near your house and go for a walk as well. So that's all there is for that, and that concludes this week's episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com, and you can find me on Twitter at patelN01. You can find past episodes, subscription links, and all of that good stuff at patelN01.com. You can find this show or any show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. And look out for some updates to the Patreon goals as well, patreon.com/patelN01. We're reaching the end of the first year of Life of an Accounting Droid at episode 52. So I wanted to kind of update the goals for what's been going on and help promote different parts of the show as well to help share ability and viewership and all of that good stuff. So if you have any suggestions, you can always email me or find me on Twitter and send me a DM, and anything helps. So that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.